pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Morning. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5, 7 minutes after the hour on this Wednesday morning. We do appreciate you listening as always. Look, I'm on the program this morning, Yellowhammer News' Sean Ross, as he does every Wednesday. Looking forward to having that conversation. So please make sure that you stick around for it. We as always, appreciate you listening. 251-343-0106 if you'd like to weigh in on anything. Hit us up on that text line. That works really well. Joining us now, running for Secretary of State, always a pleasure to bring on my next guest, State Representative Wes Allen of Troy. Representative, good morning. Thank you for coming on.
Good morning, Jeff. I appreciate you having me on your show. And speaking of Sean, he does an excellent job covering the legislature, and he's a good reporter.
He's my, technically he's my boss, so I guess I need to make sure that I second that, not that he...
Yeah, you better brag on him, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I have watched him come a long way. He came in a couple of years ago, and I think got Yellowhammer on the right track and got us really looking at more of a statewide view of where coverage need to be placed. So that's certainly a cool thing about Sean and his expertise. Let's get right into it here. Well, first off, before we get into the proceedings of the Alabama legislature, how's the campaign going?
Campaign's going well. I've made 3 or 4 stops already on the campaign trail around. Been to Huntsville, been to Hoover, I was over in Abbeville last night and meeting with the GOP group and met some fine folks over there and got to visit with them a little bit. And, it's been enjoyable. And, we're just now getting it kicked off and we're getting our schedule set for the summer and fall. And we're just looking forward to it and getting out and sharing the story about our campaign and why we must protect and secure our elections and make sure that we've got to have somebody in that office that's going to stand firm against any of these liberal attacks to weaken our elections and would thus bring in chaos and confusion. And so we certainly do not need any chaos and confusion that we saw in some other states around the country. And so we've been looking forward to it and gotten to meet some great people so far, and it's been going well.
And I think that is where the public is right now. We're looking at election integrity. A lot, particularly in a Republican state, but a lot of Republicans, they just have some questions about what happened in 2020. A lot of that is out of our control. It happened in other states, and other states run their own elections. But it's not going to stop these forces from beyond from coming in or coming into Alabama and trying to change the way we do elections, it seems.
No, they're not going to stop. And, like you said, we can't control what upstate do, but we can control what we do here in the state of Alabama. We've got a good system in place, and we don't need any policies put into place that will weaken our election laws or will bring into question the security of our ballots, the integrity of our ballots. And, just want to make sure that that we stand firm on election laws and our strong election laws. So we can control what we can control. I'm very proud of the curbside voting ban that was passed the other night in the Senate that I sponsored, House Bill 285. I was very appreciative of Senator Dan Roberts out of Jefferson County who handled that bill in the Senate. Crossed the finish line up there and did a great job. And of course, it's in front of Governor Ivey now. And we're looking forward to her signing that bill.
That's kind of an interesting story because this idea, it seems like a foreign concept. Like who would ever think that you would say that you could, like it's the drive-through at McDonald's, curbside voting, you can just drive your car up and somebody bring you a ballot out. But anyway, this was done by a federal judge and it had to be overturned by a higher court. But you guys needed to, I guess, make sure that it was written down into law that this is not something that we need to do in Alabama.
Sure, yeah. You mentioned it. It was a federal judge here basically allowed local officials to do curbside, which, you know, our laws didn't speak to it. So thankfully we had a higher court strike it down, and we wanted to put that in state statute, state law, make sure that that couldn't happen. I mean, you know, we got to make sure the ballots stay inside the physical precinct and make sure the machines stay inside the physical precinct. And if once a ballot walks out the door and leaves, you know, that, you know, you worry about the ballot security. I mean, what if it's raining? I mean, what happens if it's rain? You know, the ballot's going to get wet. It's not going to feed through the machine. Listen, I've dealt with ballots sometimes feed through a machine when I was probate judge, and it's a problem. So, I mean, you got to make sure those ballots are good and dry. And, if they get that in the rain or whatever, it could be definitely a problem. But we got to make sure we protect those ballots, protect those people's right to vote.
Were you surprised by the pushback from your colleagues on the other side of the aisle on this effort?
No, I was not. not at all. We knew anytime those election bills, we know that the antennas are going to run up, and there'll be some pushback from the other side. But like I said before, I just want to commend my Republican colleagues for recognizing how important this issue is for election security and election integrity, and passing that bill. It was a priority bill, and we got it done. And I appreciate the House Republicans and, of course, the Senate Republicans as well.
And, you know, whenever you hear people talk about the virtues of curbside voting or mail-in balloting or name your new way of voting, rather than just going to your precinct and casting about like we have for the last 200 years or whatever, it's all about voter participation and making it easier to vote. But I never understood why that had to be. I understand you don't want to put unnecessary obstacles in the way of getting people to vote, but why the objective is always like it was the onus was on us as not me, but on government to increase voter participation. I don't really necessarily want government doing that. I want government just administering the election and making sure it is on the up and up. It is integrity, and it is something that the public can trust in. And I think we lose sight of what really the purpose ought to be there sometimes.
So, yeah, sure. It's, you know, I agree with you. It's government's role is to make sure that our elections are protected and they run smoothly on election day. And for the probate judges out there, circuit clerks, sheriffs, board of registrars, and the poll workers who work on election day, they're the ones who really get it done. And, you know, I've been there. I've done that as a former probate judge. I ran 18 elections. I know, you know, I've been at the courthouse at 5:30 in the morning on election day, getting ready and prepared and ready for a big day of elections. And so I know what it takes. And, you know, as a Secretary of State candidate, you know, I know about elections from start to finish. And, you know, I'll be a Secretary of State that's, you know, going to be there to support our local elected officials to make sure that they efficiently and administer our elections.
Joined by State Representative Wes Allen, candidate for Secretary of State in Alabama in next year's Republican primary. Representative, I guess looking at what had happened on Monday night, it looked chaotic. It looked kind of, I don't know, but were you've seen this, you know, you've seen the way this played out in your years in Montgomery so far. Are you surprised by how business in Montgomery operates? What was your takeaway, particularly coming out of this legislative year?
Well, so, you know, we've got two great budgets. Yeah, let's start, you know, with the positive. You know, because of conservative budgeting over the last 11 years since the Republicans have taken the majority in both houses back in 2010, we've really done a great job making sure our budgets are strong. ETF is strong. The general fund is strong. The economy in Alabama is good. You know, we were ranked fifth, I think, in some publication about which state had the best economy to withstand coming out of the pandemic, and we were number five. I think that says a lot about our leadership. So having good conservative budgets year after year and making sure we don't get out in front of our skis and overextending ourselves says a lot about our leadership. So I commend Chairman Poole in the House for the ETF chair and Chairman Klaus out of Ozark, who chairs the general fund, for crafting two strong conservative budgets, you know, addressing needs, but at the same time making sure that we don't get overextended. So we did that, but, you know, there were some other issues that we didn't get to that I thought that we had a chance to pass late in the session. One was the Second Amendment Preservation Act. The other was the transgender bill that outlawed the puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and the surgeries. And, you know, we didn't get to it, to those two bills. And that was disappointing to me, because I've heard from my constituents, about those two issues. I was disappointed, that we didn't get to those two bills.
Well, let's talk about constitutional carry. Obviously, there's a bit of a controversy down this way about that issue. Law enforcement, well, some law enforcement, they are not very keen on the idea of the theory of constitutional carry. But that seems to be something that has gained traction. And you've seen a lot of members of the legislature that have really changed their mind on this or evolved on it. All I could guess is if maybe some of it has something to do with the centralized database that the tracking the people that can have firearms, making something like the doing away with the requirement for a concealed carry permit a more feasible thing. But really, are you surprised how this issue has evolved over the last couple of years? What's your take on that?
So there's two issues here. One was the bill I was referring to earlier was the Second Amendment Preservation Act, and that what I think you're talking about too is the constitutional carry, correct?
Right. Well,
the constitutional carry. Yeah, it's not an issue that's going away. My dad, Senator Allen, out of Tuscaloosa, has sponsored constitutional carry for a number of years now, and hasn't gotten across the finish line, but it has picked up steam this past year. And I know that, you know, I got a colleague down in Mobile, Representative Stringer, who sponsored that. And, you know, listen, he was elected to represent the people of his district. He's a great representative. I'm proud to serve alongside of him. And, you know, I'm proud for him for defending the constitutional Second Amendment rights of his district. And, you know, I'm sure that issue, the constitutional carry, is going to gain some steam between now and next session. So we're looking forward to taking that up, and that issue is not going away.
No, and I guess whenever I go to these like Bama carry group meetings, I'm surprised to see just how much support these guys, these activists, put into that issue. And I think you're right. It certainly gained some steam in recent years. But getting something through the legislature is a different story. And you have all these different entities pushing and pulling. And then, I it's not going away, but looking at it, it seems to me, and I don't know what your constituents are telling you, but it seems to have pretty widespread public support. It polls really well.
It does. It does. And, you know, it's an issue of freedom and liberty. And I think that you're going to see the legislature address that in the coming session.
Representative, we're up against a break here, but just give a plug in for your campaign where folks can find you, where they can find you on social media. Let us know where to look.
Well, Jeff, thank you for having me on the show today. I really appreciate it. Giving me the opportunity to spend a little time with you. But everybody can find me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I'm pretty easy to find. Just type in Representative Wes Allen, and you'll be able to find me and follow me there. And you can send me a direct message. And we look forward to seeing folks out on the campaign trail soon.
As always, we appreciate it. State Representative Wes Allen, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Forrest Show on FM Talk 106.5.